and dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in.
All right, we're back, folks. Second hour of the National Intel Report, and I'm glad that this gentleman mentioned to bring him home. What are we calling them? They're not stickers. They're magnetic.
They're magnetic.
Magnetic ribbons.
Magnetic ribbons. Mm-hmm. And they can get them here at the network, and they're, I think they're
$3.99. Includes shipping.
Includes shipping.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And all you have to do is give us a call here at 800-724-2719. Were you aware of last month that the U.S. pulled 25,000 troops out of Iraq? Did you hear that on the news?
Where'd they send them? Iran?
Probably. Uh-huh. Yeah. But at any rate, we need to get these people out of the Middle East before we have World War III. Unconscionable, unconstitutional, and an illegal war. I mean, that is absolutely no doubt about that. So if you want to let folks know,
somebody wants to let you know.
And I know who this is, too. Stop calling me. I know you're listening to the show. They just call to leave me messages on my phone, and I always take this stupid thing with me.
I see.
At any rate, if you wanted to send $3.99 and a check cash money order for that amount of money, you just wrap your FRNs in foil, send it to the network to P.O. Box 6719, Round Rock, Texas, 78683. Just send that to CSIN or RBN. It doesn't matter. P.O. Box 6719, Round Rock. It's two words, Round Rock, Texas, 78683. And let's go to the phones. Randy in Texas. Hello, Randy.
He didn't get his apostille question answered.
Well, we'll do that after Randy.
Okay.
All right. Hi, Randy.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Desi, you and I were talking last Thursday, and you were telling me about the local police don't have the authority for traffic stops due to something in the commerce.
Well, it's if you look in the Texas Administrative Code under traffic or DPS or what in the world ever it is, it's hard to putz in the Texas Administrative Code. See, you have to have a regulation. You have a code out there that begins with it, but you have to have it backed up by a regulation for it to affect the general public. So if you look in the Administrative Code, it says that they Texas, or I can't even remember what it is, is tasked with protecting the it's not highways, like farm roads and whatnot. And they are tasked with protecting and regulating commerce on the highways. And so then it goes on later to talk about commerce and exactly what commerce is. So it only applies to commerce, and it doesn't apply to you. And then it also says the only ones that are tasked with regulating commerce on the highways are the DPS and the Texas Rangers. Texas, is it the Rangers? Yeah, Texas Rangers and the DPS. So that.
Highway Patrol.
No, the DPS, that is the Highway Patrol.
Yeah, the Department of Public Service, yeah.
Safety,
I'm sorry.
Always public safety.
I'm sorry, servicing.
Everything is for safety.
I just use that Texas term about cattle servicing, and that's what you get alongside the roadways in Texas here.
So what they do is they flip a book at you with a code in it, but then you always have to go to research the second part of it, which is in the Texas Administrative Code, and it doesn't hold up. Okay?
Okay, thanks.
Uh-huh. Right. You're welcome. And the question that you were to answer for the previous caller?
The apostille. The apostille is just simply a verification of a notary, but it carries the seal of a Secretary of State, and it really kind of carries weight. Like, I've got a fellow now that's going to put a foreign judgment into the federal court by means of an apostille. It's a notary, notary affidavit that says that he got no answer. Therefore, his judgment stands, and it has an apostille attached to it, and it serves as a self-authenticating document. It makes it like evidence in a court. So that's all an apostille is. I think he probably meant the document was attached to an apostille, but those things vary.
All right, we'll take the break, come back, some more of your calls, and we'll get into the information that you fine folks have for us today, and we'll do that right after this break.
I can't believe it.
It truly is amazing.
anything.
You have to care enough about yourself to want to do something.
If you're tired of feeling sick or run down, this truly is the answer. I have so much energy now.
It makes you feel good. It is all natural.
Everyone in my family takes Cardivite.
Cardivite.
Cardivite. We all use Cardivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, Heart Drop 2000 presents Cardivite. Cardivite is an all-natural supplement which is made up of our own special blend of herbs gathered from many different parts of the world, specially designed to improve your health. Come on and care about yourself just a little more with Cardivite. You can find more information at www.cardovite.us or call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822.
Cardivite is a natural thing. Gives you the edge like you've never seen. It makes you feel good. Cardivite.
Can we talk?
Can we talk?
Can we talk about gun control?
Gun control?
Seems like it should work, doesn't it?
It should work.
You'd think so. Yeah.
Pass the right laws.
Pass the right laws.
And you can disarm the criminals.
You disarm them.
That's the idea.
But the problem is...
The problem?
Criminals don't obey the law.
They don't obey the law.
That's true.
After all, they're criminals.
They're criminals.
Criminals. They'll always find a way to get guns.
No matter how many laws you pass.
Which means
they still have guns.
They still have guns. While the rest of us...
The rest of us?
The rest of us are just left defenseless.
Americans who own guns, people like you and me, prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year. Get the facts on gun control. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
The Idaho Observer is one of the last independent American presses and isn't afraid to print the truth. The Idaho Observer is a monthly 24-page hard copy newspaper in its fifth year of addressing important issues affecting all freedom-loving Americans. If you are concerned about the burgeoning national debt and the Orwellian police state growing up around you, then subscribe to the Idaho Observer. Only $25 for 12 monthly issues. Idaho Observer readers receive vital insight into events as they unfold. Our articles editorially emphasize activism and serve as a networking tool for like-minded individuals determined to make a difference. The Idaho Observer, printing what you need to be fully informed on issues that matter to real Americans. Go to idaho-observer.com or call 208-255-2307. That's 208-255-2307.
Ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
A program note here, starting on, and mark this on your calendar, or take a sticky note and stick it on your radio. I'm sorry?
Get your pens out.
Oh, thank you.
You want them to be prepared.
Well, yes.
Okay.
They always should be when
all
they're
right.
listening to this program.
All right, get your pens out.
Starting effective 3rd April, we're going to switch the second hour from 99, people are going, oh gosh, here it comes again, from 99.85 on the shortwave to 74.65. Now, that may or may not make more people happy, I don't know, but I'm sure I'll get the phone calls. Well, I can hear you now, but folks, it's out of my control. This is the... frequency adjustment for broadcasting the frequency for summer. So mark this on your little calendar or your post-it note. Effective April 3rd, the second hour will be 74.65 on your shortwave dial. Back to the phones. Don in Texas. Hello, Don.
Hey, good afternoon.
Hi.
Wanted to address your esteemed panel about the issue of getting married without a state-issued license, which, of course, I oppose, but I've got the issue of convincing the other half on this.
Well, always remember what a license is for. It's permission to do something that would otherwise be illegal. What are you doing that's illegal? Tell us about it.
Not doing a thing that's
Fast
illegal.
Up, Don.
And ask her why she would want to have a third party in your marriage. Why does there need to be a three-party contract? What can the state bring to the marriage that you can't bring to the marriage?
She's concerned about legality issues, insurance, wills, et cetera, that I told her I was going to have to do some more research before I could answer those
things. That's a good question.
That's a contract. You know, a two-way contract. What's illegal or what's not? What's not allowable about a contract between you and your spouse?
Yeah, you do a contract. You both have it signed under notary seal, and no state shall impair contracts. So that's just as legal as going to the. I mean, does a judge marry you? Does a court come in? Does a court come into the marriage? Do you have a judge's order when you apply for insurance? When you want to put your spouse on your insurance? Do you have to bring a judge's order?
I do not think so.
Well, then we just have to retrain people. I mean, you might meet with opposition, but I'm telling you that a contract is just as viable as a.
If you sign a contract with a roofer to put a new roof on your house, is that a valid contract? You know, if it's done properly, it's a valid contract. What does the state have to do with that? You can do the same thing with your potential spouse.
But that same builder, if you want to build an addition to your house or whatever, make improvements on your property, that same contractor, you're going to have to go to the city to go get a permission slip to get a building permit.
Yeah, that would be a different issue than just a contract between you and whoever you're entering into an agreement with.
But that's what a marriage license is. It is not the permission to get married. It is the permission for the clergy to perform the rite. That's what it is. It's permission to perform a rite.
Don, it sounds to me as if your wife is stuck in the matrix and she's afraid to swallow the correct pill.
That's basically it.
Yeah. And the other thing is, what you might want to tell her is that gives the state enormous control. If you ever decide to have children, gives the state enormous control over your children.
Well, and when they issue that birth certificate, what do? The state makes your child literally
a ward of the state.
A ward of the state, because the husband's name does not appear on the birth certificate.
No, the husband's name appears, but it appears
in many states it does not.
Well, I've never seen one that the husband's name didn't, or the father's name doesn't appear.
That's what I'm saying.
No, I've never seen one that it didn't appear. So I'm
it
not.
Appears a different name than the wife's name. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So even if his name is on there, it's a different last name than the mother's name.
Right.
So it looks like the child is a bastard.
Yeah, so it might as well not even be on there.
Of course, as it turns out, we're even older than old John Statmiller.
Well,
so
I thought maybe you were sounding like that wouldn't be an issue, but you know, Bill had to go there. He thought you were just a young whippersnapper.
Didn't want to presume anything.
Okay, and I have a wonderful pastor who's more than happy to perform a ceremony with just a family Bible.
There you go.
There you go.
That's
the way I do it.
John, I was married by a fine gentleman that does Little Red Schoolhouses, and we had no license or marriage certificate. We were presented one during the time of the ceremony. And
worked out swell.
And actually, yesterday was our anniversary.
So. Well, happy.
Congrats.
And that was Bill's birthday yesterday?
Yep. And your birthday, you got birthed on my wedding anniversary?
Yep. Well, or you got married on his birthday.
Yeah, you got married on my birthday. I came first.
Well, it seems longer than that, but geez, really. Don, good luck with your wife. Does she listen to any of the programming?
A little bit. It's been a slow education process.
Yeah.
And he's coming along kicking and screaming.
Women are tough.
Yeah.
Oh, Desi.
Yes.
One more question. I recently heard a tape of, I'm trying to think of the ATF agent's name. He was a real snake. And there were people asking him questions at a Waco survivors meeting. And one voice in there questioning him about the codes sounded suspiciously like yours. I would swear it was you.
Is it an old tape?
Yeah, it's probably several years back. And I'm trying to think of his name and listen to him squirm. It's about a 16-minute...
Yeah, there was an ATF officer once that spoke in front of a crowd, and yeah, I did pipe in.
I thought that was your voice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you all.
You know me. Can't keep my mouth shut.
I know it.
The infamous,
count on you.
The infamous Ma Barker. Thanks, Don. Joni in Florida. Hello, Joni.
Hi.
Hi.
And Christine, I apologize. I called in because I live in the Tampa Bay area where this Terry Schiavo situation is going on.
Yes.
And Saturday morning, it only came over the TV once, maybe twice. That's it. That Bo Greitz and another man were the two first people, or first out of four people that were arrested Saturday morning. And John, do you have any way of double-checking up on whether that's the Bogrites we know?
I guarantee you it is, Joni. Is there any doubt? Mr. Grandstand? Are you kidding?
No, I just, we haven't heard anything more about it.
Well, that's because Mr. Greitz is out of the spotlight because he's just about made every patriot in this country angry at him.
Yes, I know.
Yeah.
I remember when Alex had him on the griddle.
Yeah, Beelzebub, yeah.
With the flames up high.
Yeah, I don't want to discuss Bo Greitz here. Anything else, Joni?
I always find this interesting what you're talking about. And I like the idea that you just sort of go limp, become the blob. And
I like that too.
No energy.
Yeah.
We feed off our energy.
We knew a man up from Connecticut, Malachinsky, and he would try to help people in court, and they'd say you can't do that, you know. And so they would come to remove him, and he would just go limp. And they'd have to drag him out. He wouldn't say anything more. He'd just go limp, and they'd have to drag him out.
And they're all geared to one thing: your resistance, whether it's physical, whether it's you're throwing a mental challenge at them, whatever the case may be. They're geared for the resistance, and when you don't resist, they don't know what to do with you.
Yeah, he would just go absolutely limp.
Yeah,
yeah, and what we're talking about too is kind of a figural limp rather than a literal limp. In court, you just don't fight back, you don't resist, you just tell them, "I'm not going to get representation, I'm not going to represent myself, I'm not going to sign anything," and maybe they don't have anywhere to go with
you. I mean,
it's a new theory, but
we've tried everything else.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck?
Well,
everything is trial and error. Everybody's trying to figure out how to get out from under the oppression and the tyranny.
Mm-hmm.
And some things work, some things don't. Sometimes they work for a while and then stop working, so it's a constant process.
Well, I'm sure that judge called a judicial session right away to say what should I have done.
Right.
They'll hash it over before people go back to court.
Well, in the ship of state, if you have a Captain Bligh, didn't he get thrown overboard, given a rowboat and some provisions, and they set sail on the ocean for him and got rid of him? That's basically, I think, where we're going to have to go with this thing. But the way, here's the problem. They're geared toward any physical action against the matrix or the machine. They're geared for that. So how do we get the Captain Bligh off of the poop deck here and take the ship of state back?
Well, I think they have no shame. I mean, would you run up in a parking lot with guns blazing and
only if I didn't
and holler? Federal warrant, federal. I mean,
only if I was stupid.
I mean,
only if I was stupid and I was real desperate for a paycheck.
Yeah.
And I guess security guards don't pay that well, so they got to gussy themselves up and throw authority around, proclaimed authority, and then show their guns and their badges. They're bad boys. And I'll tell you what, running up on people, did they have any automatic weapons with them? Did you see any rifles?
No, I didn't see any rifles.
Ah, well, you didn't get the full treatment then.
Yeah.
Huh. But they don't have anything better to do. They dress them up in the monkey suit, ninja outfits.
Maybe over in the Walmart parking lot, they get more, you know, they bring out the rifles. Maybe Sam's was safer.
Thanks, Joni, for your call.
God bless.
Appreciate it. Eric Schein. Oh, now here's a guy that we know well that, well, was just bold enough, classified as being a terrorist because he asked too many questions of his Veterans Administration. And, Eric, what's going on with you?
Not much, John. Well, actually a lot, John. Not the Veterans Administration. It's a little more complex than that. As an officer in the United States Merchant Marine, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine. Go ahead.
The whole thing on Social Security, everything else that's going on, this whole issue of privatization, if you look at the Merchant Marine, you'll see where everything is going. And privatization is not really privatization. It's not putting these things out into the private domain. If you look at the Merchant Marine, all these shipping companies like Matson, American President Lines, I go down the whole list, Maersk, Crowley, whatever, they're set up under what are called general agency agreements.
Yep.
They're actually federal agencies.
Yep.
And what's even worse that people don't understand is that they're all married. They all have the antitrust laws waived. They're enormous corporations or federal agencies in their own right, each individual one. But then they're also all members of the Pacific Maritime Association,
which
that
deals
Walmart
with insurance, too.
Belongs to.
Okay, yeah. Eric, hold that thought. We got to take this short break. We'll be right back.
When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real hard-to-find, all-natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorant, or antibacterials? Probably never, right? For the past 50 years, the Calbend Soap Company has been making triple-concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now, for the first time, Calbend Pure Soap is available factory-direct to you and your family. It's great news because Calbend Pure Soap is made from all-natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today, for good old-fashioned pure soap, call Calbend at 1-800-340-7091.
Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbend Pure Soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or on the web at calbendpuresoap.com.
Try pure soap once and I guarantee you'll never use anything else.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Are you one of the millions who have trouble waking up every morning? Hit the snooze a few too many times? Need that morning cup of coffee to get you started? Why not put a little spice in your morning with Gano Cafe? Gano Cafe, a healthy coffee, gives you energy and vigor, increases your focus and mental clarity. Gano Cafe helps the body heal itself, strengthen the immune system, and waste elimination for detoxification. If you're a coffee drinker, you won't believe the wonderful taste of this great coffee. Ganoderma, commonly known as the reishi mushroom, has been utilized in Chinese medicine for over 2,000 years. Also known as the longevity herb, miraculous king of herbs, it's more powerful than ginseng and has much lower caffeine and acid. To get your cup of great-tasting coffee, go to healthycoffeeonline.com or call 1-888-841-6055. That's 1-888-841-6055.
What's going on? You started to go off in a direction. What's going on with you now?
Well, they're actually counter-prosecuting me or attempting to counter-prosecute me through the bankruptcy proceedings now. The appointed trustee has declared herself to be a party in interest, declared the U.S. trustee to be a party in interest through special notice, has filed a motion for change of venue. She doesn't have the standing. It's supposed to be by either the creditors or debtors. She's not supposed to be filing a change of venue. She is motioned for relief from the bankruptcy court from me as a petitioner and motioned for dismissal and or change of venue, so I'll lose the attorney that my family had helped me get to try to, you know, get through bankruptcy or whatever and get beyond this somehow.
Oh, they got their cute tricks, haven't they?
Oh, you wouldn't believe.
Their cute attorney tricks.
Actually, you, it was that Desi?
Yes.
Yeah, you'd believe.
Yeah, I believe you, Eric.
Well, one thing that's going on, and I just want to kind of let people mold this over in their minds, I guess, to some level and degree, besides all the bankruptcy, the changes in the laws, the bankruptcy and everything else, is the thought of what an administrative rendition is. It's basically what they're carrying on with all the prisoners and terrorists, you know, worldwide, using the CIA planes and even, I guess, now the Red Sox plane or something or whatever. And without judicial or due process, they're just moving and doing whatever they want to do administratively. They're doing the same thing to our own people.
Yeah, that's, that's rendering, Eric.
Yeah.
Yeah, rendering.
Or rendition.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, yep. No due process. Just keep moving somewhere
right,
where they
and
can.
And doing it administratively.
Yeah.
Right. And that's like even now I find myself in bankruptcy court where they've placed me in the United States as a debtor to me, and they continue to try to – she's accused me of making false statements, form shopping, et cetera, et cetera.
That's what they do.
Right.
That's what they do.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And even to – I mean, the FBI and DOJ are the actual parties who watch over the bankruptcy court. This is one of the documents that was filed back in April of 2004. It was United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. It's myself as a petitioner versus United States of America, a real party in interest, and the United States District Court for the Central District of California as a respondent, and the United States of America, U.S. DOJ, administrative law judges in the various forms of the Department of Homeland Security, United States Coast Guard, Department of Transportation. It goes down the whole list, and it says towards the end, any and all agents or representatives under general agency agreements are otherwise responsible for the valid licensed personnel board. The licensed personnel board is our system of due process as federal maritime officers, and these shipping companies and the federal agencies have not only dissolved our entire federal contracts or shipping articles or articles of agreement with the United States, they've dissolved our systems of due process. And so, people really need to think long and hard about how bad it is out there, that it's going to get much worse unless people start to step forward. And
oh, people have no idea. I mean, they're just absolutely in shock. This is like, with the jails, I know exactly where to go. Down at the courts, I know exactly where to go. I mean, they want something to done, you come over here. And people are just going, wow. I mean, people just have, until they meet up with the beast, they have no clue how bad it is. And when it smacks them, they just say, it is unbelievable. It really is unbelievable.
Eric, what's the next step for you?
Well, I don't know if Desi knows, John, but Desi, do you know anything about my story or what's happened to me?
No, I thought you were somebody else when John was talking about it, actually.
Well, the Department of Homeland Security, I was actually in civil court and district court where I was suing the shipping companies and the union for dissolving our federal contracts and our system of due process. The Department of Homeland Security filed a countercomplaint under administrative law, pulled me out of civil court, and then prosecuted me for my civil complaints, my union grievances, whistleblower letters, used them all as evidence against me, and actually prosecuted me for, quote-unquote, being depressed. Seized medical records, falsified medical records, held me in detention for, going on a year, denied any level of due process. I couldn't present a defense. There was unnamed witnesses that said unknown things, no ability for depositions.
Yeah, the same thing they're doing to the enemy combatants. What was your crime?
Being depressed, I think, is what I was charged with.
No. I mean, why did they do this to you in the first place?
There was no violation of law, rule, or regulation because I'm a dissident, because I was in civil court.
Because you sued.
Sorry?
Because you sued them.
Yeah, right.
Well,
and there is no
right.
Sovereign immunity under admiralty because I'm a federal maritime officer and I work for the United States.
Nope, there's no sovereign immunity. That's a toughie.
Right.
Wow.
But obviously, they're using administrative renditions or blockades. And people don't even understand. It's not just the federal agencies and all these corporations and stuff, but the protection and indemnity insurance clubs, all these enormous law firms. I mean, it's scary.
Oh, yeah, it is scary.
All right. Well,
good luck to you, Eric.
Thanks, Desi.
All right, Eric, thanks. I appreciate the call. Xerxes, Richard,
thanks, John.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Eric. And we'll be in touch. Xerxes, Richard, and John, just hang on. And we must get to your information. Let's do a little bit of that after the break here. We've been talking about swatting at department stores. And don't get that look. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Would you like to have an income regardless of the economic situation, which few trade people have considered? The art of knife sharpening is a skill that will never disappear and will always be in demand. Whether you have a place of business and just want to add to your income, or would like to travel servicing restaurants, barbershops, or a variety of businesses in need of sharpening tools, you're always guaranteed an income with repetitive business. Learn how to become a successful grindsman. It's easy to learn with our portable Grambo sharpening system. Travel anywhere you desire. Purchase the training manual for only $30, and it'll be applied toward your purchase of the Grambo sharpening system. America has become a service-oriented rather than a manufacturing or even high-tech economy. Take advantage of the situation and become a professional grindsman. It's easy to learn. Start on a shoestring with the overwhelming amount of business out there. Now is the best time to start. Call today for more information. You can enjoy the good life. Call now, 512-297-3152. That's 512-297-3152.
Looking for a quality shortwave radio without spending hundreds of dollars? The Sanjian 505P shortwave radio is the answer. Featuring continuous tuning for all shortwave frequencies utilizing direct keypad tuning. Dual conversion improves shortwave image for better shortwave reception. Single sideband allows for reception of upper and lower sideband signals. Other features include 45 station memory, auto preset system, auto memory scan, tone controls, dual time display, and adjustable sleep timers. Included accessories, the AMT60 portable shortwave antenna, AC adapter, stereo earbuds, and a soft-sided carrying case. Also a 1-year full factory warranty on parts and labor. All this for only $139. Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Call today.
Today, the media is flooded with reports of everything from antibiotic-resistant supergerms to the possibility of a dangerous cold and flu season. What will you do to keep you and your family healthy and safe? There is now a scientifically proven alternative with 7 years of clinical studies called Super Silver Solution. Super Silver's combination of supercharged silver and oxygen has been proven to kill hundreds of bacteria and to be at least up to 300% more effective than any other silver product on the market. Super Silver is the only patented silver product scientifically proven to kill the germs that cause colds, flus, sinus, eye, ear, and respiratory infections, and many more, yet completely safe for everyday use by children and adults of all ages. Call International Health now for a complete information pack with CD at 800-974-1879. Let the power of supercharged silver protect you and your family. That's 800-974-1879. We're so sure it works. In fact, we guarantee it. Call 800-974-1879 or visit supersilver.net.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
All right, folks, we're back. No sign language here. Come on. Well, who's going to speak first?
Bill's going to talk about the worth of a dollar. I thought it was very interesting. He decided to finally read that.
Is he assigning worth to it? I thought it was worthless. What do you got, Bill?
Well, first of all, I'd like to recommend a book for your audience that I started reading
last week. Several books, actually.
It's a book called Pieces of Eight, and it's by an author named Edwin Vieira Jr., who is a Ph.D. And he has a law degree, both from Harvard. And he wrote the most definitive book on the history of constitutional money in the United States that's ever been written. He's probably the foremost authority in the world on money, on monetary issues. And the book is two volumes, and each volume is about 900 pages. So it's an 1,800-page book, and it is meticulously researched, documented, footnoted, and very well, and just explained extraordinarily well. And it doesn't get very much publicity because I'm sure the powers that be would not want me or anybody else to read this book. But it is, it's called Pieces of Eight, and it's copyrighted 2002. It's his newest, I think he wrote an edition earlier, but this is the newest one, and it's really a good book. And it's answered a lot of, it's cleared up a lot of gray areas that I had. And I've been studying monetary issues now for about 4 or 5 years, the history of money and central banking. And the reason I went that route is because I didn't really understand a lot of domestic and international politics. There were so many disconnected dots And it was hard for me to understand what was going on, especially trying to read accounts from the mainstream media, who is always trying to obfuscate the truth. But finally, I realized, you know, when they say follow the money, I started really following the money, and I started learning as much as I could about the history of money and central banking. And then it was it put all of politics in a context for me where it was easy to connect the dots. And so then as I started reading the Constitution, there were several types of clauses in the Constitution that didn't make a lot of sense to me. And a lot of that has been cleared up since reading this book. And the one thing that I would bet if you ask people, 999 out of 1,000, maybe even more than that, would not know the answer to. And that question is, ask people, what is a dollar? What's a dollar?
The response that you will get back almost without fail will be, well, that's money.
Right. So what is a dollar? There's a lot of things can
so
be
money. So it's money. So the sky is blue. What's a dollar?
What is a dollar? Specifically, define a dollar. And I'm not asking you all to do that because...
Well, four of them will buy me a cup of Starbucks coffee. That's what Judge Deed said. Whatever they are.
It turns out a dollar is different than what a lot of people think it is. And a dollar is not even defined in the Constitution. The dollar is mentioned twice in the Constitution, once in the Seventh Amendment, where it talks about $20, and once in Article 1, Clause 9, Section 9, I mean, where it talks about $10. But the dollar is never defined. And the people that would have us think that the dollar is some floating abstract value or some floating abstract thing would go back and say, well, the dollar's not even defined in the Constitution. And Edwin Vieira clears that up very well in his book, and he said, you know, the dollar isn't defined in the Constitution because it was already settled law as to what the dollar was. The dollar, even before the Articles of Confederation and during the Articles of Confederation, was fixed and the dollar that was accepted was the silver Spanish milled dollar, which was exactly 371.25 grains of silver. And it was just by accident that they chose that unit as the dollar because there were a number of coins in circulation at that time, but they fixed the dollar. And one of the things that always bothered me that was in the Constitution is Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5 that says the Congress shall have the power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and a foreign coin, and fix the standard of weights and measures.
Now listen carefully to this one because it's a good concept.
Yeah, and so where it says regulate the value thereof, it sounds like, well, the dollar doesn't have a fixed value, and that's why it floats. Well, they had already fixed the dollar as the Spanish milled dollar, 371 grains of silver, which is about 3/4 of an ounce of silver. That was the fixed standard. What they were to regulate was the value of every other coin in existence other than that. The dollar got fixed. There were other coins in circulation in the United States and foreign coins that were circulating at that time. Some of them had different amounts of silver content, like a coin might have 200 grains of fine silver. So that coin may be worth 62 cents because a dollar is 371 grains. And it also allowed them to regulate the value of gold relative to the fixed standard dollar. So really, a dollar is not gold. Coined gold is money, but a dollar is only one thing and one thing only, and that is a coin of 371.25 grains. And that is so important because they have taken the dollar bill and people think that's a dollar, and it has no worth.
Ask me what a dollar is again.
What is a dollar?
A dollar bill, according to the feudal reserve system, is a note that's legal tender for all debts, public and private.
But he didn't ask you what a dollar bill was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
See, Edwin Vieira, let me just read a couple
Can
sentences.
Can I choose another category? How about potpourris for 200? Go ahead.
No, none of us understand this stuff. None of us.
Right. He says accurately defining the noun dollar is mandatory in order to know what is United States money and what constitutes legal tender for all debts public and private. Unfortunately, the present monetary statutes do not define the term dollar in an intelligible fashion. He says, but no statute defines or has ever defined the Federal Reserve note as the dollar or even a species of the dollar. Federal Reserve notes, and then it talks about later in the Federal Reserve Act, it says Federal Reserve notes shall be redeemed in gold on demand at the Treasury of the United States or in gold or lawful money at the Federal Reserve Bank. So they differentiate gold from lawful money. Lawful money is silver and only silver coin. I shouldn't say that. Lawful money is gold and gold coin and silver coin, but only a dollar is silver. A dollar is only silver. Gold is not a dollar.
And it's set to an absolute value.
And then why did we have, the $20 gold piece. Well, why is it in common law that they set about claims and it has to be $20 or more? Why the fixed amount on the $20?
Well, I don't know why they chose that number 20, but they just felt like, that's in the Seventh Amendment, and basically what it says is, in suits at common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved.
Well, there goes that. We don't have common law.
We don't have common law, but I don't know why they chose the number 20. I guess that was arbitrary. It could have been 15 or 25, but they felt like suits of that value or more, you get to have a common law jury trial.
It must have been fairly serious at the time.
Boy,
$20.
I was just going to say, due to inflation, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, could you imagine somebody suing over $20 now? A kid can pick that up alongside the highway with returnable bottles in an hour.
But see, this clause also is in its simplicity. It says so much. It says Congress shall have the power to coin money. So money has to be coin. And then it says regulate the value thereof. Then in another clause, it says money has to be gold or silver coin. So if it isn't gold or silver coin, it is not money, no matter what they call it.
Hmm. Back to the phones. Xerxes in Texas. Hello.
Hey, John. I just want to say kudos to Scott that you have on there Saturday. That's an interesting interview show. I usually listen to it.
Okay.
And a question on the three-question deal, can't proceed without assistance of counsel deal.
Right.
Yeah.
In theory, does that eliminate whatever the offense they may have thought that they've seen?
It doesn't eliminate anything. What it does is establishes a seizure. And when you establish a seizure, you throw up your constitutionally protected rights. I can't proceed without assistance of counsel, which at that point means that nothing you do or say after that point can be used against you.
But previous to that point, does that stuff still stand? Or?
Well, you don't do anything previous to that point, please.
I'm saying if they think they see something.
Well, they think they see something, but then you establish the seizure. Am I under arrest? Am I free to go? I can't proceed without assistance of counsel.
So they will tell you, because what a cop will usually do, and they've extended this, Xerxes, when they pull you over, they'll ask you a battery of questions. Where are you coming from? Where are you going? Well, it's none of their business, but what they're doing is they're establishing a dialogue to lead into their interview. So all of these questions that you may look at and scrunch up your face and say, well, what difference does that make? Well, the question itself is not important. What they're engaging you in is conversation to get you to answer questions.
Yeah, to get you off point.
Get you off point. So, I mean, if you just look at them and just keep repeating and say, well, geez, am I under arrest? They'll ask you for your driver's license, your proof of insurance.
Come on, there you go.
Did you get a note from your mama to go to the store this morning? Whatever the question is, what you're establishing when they start asking you the questions is you're just trying to establish whether you're being seized or not.
And they want you to confess, so that's what the reason for their patter.
And they will use anything that you say in a court against you.
Right.
Anything.
So that other stuff isn't eliminated, even if they establish that they...
Well, they're finding out at this point that you're not going to be cooperative because probably the next question that's going to come out of your mouth, because you are a resister, that you're resisting the tyrannical police state, the question usually comes up, well, do you have any contraband in your car? Do you have any illegal guns or drugs? Oh, by the way, do you mind if we search? And again, this is establishing, they're asking you a question, and they're going to go according to your response. If you're dumb enough to tell them, well, I don't care, I don't have anything to hide, wrong answer. You just ask him again to say, well, excuse me, officer, I don't understand. Am I under arrest? Well, if he says no, because obviously there's not something arrestable that he's pulling you over for. You just didn't rob a bank. What you're doing is you're cutting off his legs with this interview so they can gather more evidence against you for just a battery of anything that
right.
they want to charge you with.
Right.
So it's only good post whatever.
Yeah.
Post stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
One other question. That Lewis Ewing guy?
Yeah.
Has anybody ever done in Texas the thing he said he'd do at Washington with the currency deal, where he said he would contract with them, but only if they were willing to say they did all these things wrong because the currency?
Well, we've tried conditional acceptances on a number of instances. Not just with currency, but we've done conditional acceptances.
Well, he was saying that, it's illegal to take Federal Reserve notes.
Right, yes. Yeah. Well, yeah, we've asked them exactly what specie you have to be paid in and blah, yada, 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 yeah.
So that has worked for somebody?
Well, they just hurry and have a judicial conference, and then they stonewall you. That's their answer to everything.
Yes, yeah, eventually you find something that works temporarily. And then,
yeah, temporarily.
And then they just stonewall that.
Right.
Okay, well, thanks for your help, and keep up the good work.
Thanks
for
calling. Richard in Alabama. Hello, Richard.
A few years ago, there were a lot of businesses around here, these mail drop businesses with like Mailboxes Incorporated.
Yeah.
And they used to give me certificates of non-response. But now they won't do it. I got one who said he had to consult, and he had to call the postmaster. And after calling the postmaster, he said he couldn't do it.
Why did you want a certificate of non-response?
To prove that somebody is not answering mail.
Okay, you do that with a notary.
Yeah, I know it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, were you attempting through one of these services, these private services, to do what the post office does, like return receipt requested or whatever?
No. Prove that they are not responding.
Right, he just wanted, like a notary, they say,
okay, all right.
We know okay. You sent it, they didn't answer.
Gotcha.
How can I prove they don't send me anything? That's the tough one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that impossible?
Well, no, it's not impossible. You send it certified and give them a response, and then you put an affidavit into the public record. Then they have to dispute it.
See, and this is why they've always been hot on the idea of you updating, and they've told you that there's penalties for not updating your address on your driver's licenses. You see, if you've got a home, well, then you've got tax records, you're paying taxes on a home or whatever the case may be. They've got you pretty well nailed down there, but what if you're an apartment dweller? Or what if you just like traveling around and you don't have that residency established, but, you know, you got to have something on you? Oh, that's right, that driver's license is with the updated address on it. You know, so they can send you stuff. And the estate assumes when they send something out to you that you're in receipt of it. It's your responsibility to report to the state of what address you're living at so they can deliver their message to you. And the mailing to them, once they mail it out to you, that's your notification, whether you got it or not. You might have been living in Texas and now you're in Arkansas, but that doesn't matter.
You've got my problem backwards.
No, I understand. You're sending something out and you're telling them they have 10 days to respond.
No, I was just demonstrating what the state does to you.
Right.
But I need to prove that they are not writing to me.
Then you have to write. You have to have them send the notification to a notary. And then the notary says, you sent it out. He knows about it. And he can attest to the fact that you never got a response because it was not sent to him.
Yeah, that's your fair witness there.
But you can't get a notary to do that anymore. They've stopped doing it. That's the problem.
Well, find another notary.
Well, I've looked and looked and looked, and they all are afraid to do this.
Then get a notary book and read it and ask them what part of this can't they do.
Well, they don't do it that way. They do it by just talking.
A book and find out what the book says, and that's one of their duties, and show it to them. And then file a complaint with the notary division when they won't do that.
Richard, you come up with some very interesting circumstances. I mean,
have one of your friends become a notary.
Yeah, I mean,
it's not that hard to become a notary.
Yeah. Well, why are you using? By the way, let me ask you this: why are you using one of these private mailbox companies?
Well, I don't really use it. I only use it in the sense that the private mailbox has a notary available.
Right. It's a notary.
And I used to be able to get the notary to fill out an affidavit of non-response, meaning there's nothing in the box.
Right.
Okay.
Nothing in the box that proves they didn't respond.
Right.
So, but they won't do that anymore.
Yeah. Try to prove a negative.
They don't want to have Homeland Security come in and get them like they got Eric.
Yeah.
I know it. It's like getting that way everywhere.
It is. It is. The screws are tightening.
Like that, everybody's that way.
Yep. I don't disagree.
And I wish there was some alternative. I'm keep groping around for some idea.
Yeah, the alternative, Richard, is to get a sane judicial system once again to get rid of the people, the doppelgangers, the bureaucrats that are writing all these public policies and all these laws that have no basis in law whatsoever, no authority to do so. The trick is, and here's the hard part, okay, is getting rid of that. Once you do this, the rest of the stuff is going to go away of its own dead weight.
I agree. The trick is to get rid of war powers.
Okay, Richard, thanks for your call. Boy, he comes up with some stuff, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Alex Jones. Hello, Alex.
Hey, John. Hey, Desi. Hey, Doc. Just to call in to say hi.
Hi, Alex.
You know, what's really happened here is they built a parallel system of fraud and contracts, and you guys are absolutely right for my own little research. But now the fraud has become, just through use and possessions, quote, nine-tenths of the law, has become the reality. And so even when you go in there with their own laws and their own systems, they're now, it's nothing more than theater. They're just open criminals,
yep,
dressed up in little judicial outfits.
They sure are.
And the police are, you know, dumbed down like everybody else and just mindlessly executing things.
Yep.
And, you know, the best example I heard earlier was with the whole marriage license. Well, since when do you need a license to be with the woman or the man you want to be with? But again, they sell us on this, we adopt it, and then, quote, it becomes law. Well, it's never really been the law. You know, it started if a black man wanted to marry a white woman. And so that's how
nice person, actually.
Yeah. So that's how they sold this whole thing. I've got a cold still, if I sound dingy.
Yeah, I heard your show today. You were kind of hoarse. By the way, that was a great show that you did today with that gentleman that up in New York that was one of the rescuers. That was a great show.
Well, John, in closing, thank you. Martial law, 9/11 rifle, police state is now out, now shipping. And I hope people will go to InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com and get a copy. And, John, I can give you a good deal on them if you want to carry them.
Yeah, please do, because we've got all your other videos. We don't have that. And when is the DVD coming out?
It's going to be coming out the 3rd, but I'll, of course, usually takes a few more days than that. But I'll be getting a couple thousand of them on the 3rd.
Okay, I'd prefer to carry, I mean, we'll carry some of your VHS, but by far the DVD seems to be the most popular. So when that happens, I need a consignment of that over here so we can sell them.
Yeah, it's got that little stinker John Miller in it.
It does? And, oh, yeah. That's right, the incident coming from New Jersey to New York on the subway.
We're very evil.
Yeah. Trying to help out a homeless person, and we almost went to jail that night.
Well, you know, I mean, look, all they've done is the criminals have taken over. They're setting up a system to give us, the sheep, the illusion that we deserve to be put in their slave pens. It's a mind game. That's all it is. It's a mind trick, and I'll see you guys later.
All right. Bye. Thanks, Alex. I appreciate it. John in Minnesota. Hello, John.
Yeah, I think Alex hit that one. I'd call them carpetbaggers myself, using the old term. I had a rhetorical question for you. Here you have an individual who has worked all these years to get his degree in law and so on and so forth, and finally got himself a judiciary. You would think that the man would have enough pride that he would not want to be someone dancing on the end of strings, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you'd think so, but, you know, you can't be a bar member, you can't be in the ends of the court, you can't be on the in crowd if you don't dance.
They get a lot of privileges for what they do, and, you know, it's the same people, same concept as the people that draw a paycheck. They do whatever they're told. The paycheck is good enough. They don't care if they're stomping on people's rights, stealing their property, taking away their liberty. That's what they do for their paycheck.
SWAT teams don't stick guns up their noses.
That's true. A judge does receive a paycheck, isn't he? So he's just a hired man.
He's an employee. He's not a judicial officer. He's an employee, a civil servant.
He's an employee of an agency.
Right.
Right. Hired man.
Well, that's...
Hello.
Yeah, a hired man. Right.
I use specific words for specific reasons. I like to put things in the pejorative. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Hang in there, John. John's been calling in my show for years.
Since
I was on Genesis. He's a nice guy.
He sounds like a nice man.
We got a lot of good people.
And he's not a dummy.
No, he's not. And he's a man of faith and conviction. Way to go. We need more of those. Tom in Pennsylvania. Hello, Tom.
How y'all doing today?
Good. Christine.
Hi, Tom.
Christine seems to think that she knows you. Is that true, Tom?
Christine?
Yes.
I don't think so.
Okay. There must have been another Tom.
Yeah. Okay. I thought you were my partner in the Bring 'Em Home Ribbons business.
Pardon?
I thought you were my partner, Tom, in Pennsylvania.
No.
Okay, Tom in Pennsylvania.
But I have a question. I heard, I think it was Bill speaking
yes.
about paying a fine with a credit card and then discharging
the credit card debt.
Yes.
And can you tell me how to go about doing that?
Well, there's different ways of doing it. Some work, some don't.
Then we must put the caveat here with the asterisk on, Bill, that you do this at your own risk, because we know somebody here on mortgage elimination that just got visited by the sheriff and put out of his own house.
Right.
You have to be a little bit knowledgeable before you just jump up and do what people
yeah.
tell you.
Yeah, sorry, Bill.
Okay, do you have a method?
Well, there are different methods to do it. One of the things is, you know, you get these little idiosyncratic situations that come up that are, you know, may alter your formula a little bit. So there's not like one steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and it's done. Things come up. It's a process. You've got to know how to respond. If you don't do part of the process right, it can backfire on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically the basic concept is you can ask them certain questions like, I don't have any evidence that we have a lawful contract. Can you send me that evidence? I don't have any evidence that you have the lawful authority to lend credit. Can you send me that evidence? Are you lending me money? What are you lending me? See, they're not lending you money. And they can't lend their own credit by law. So what is it that they're lending you?
They're lending notes.
They're not even lending notes. What they're doing is they're tricking you into signing your signature on an application or some form, and then that signature creates electronic digits in an account, and then every time you sign a little credit card slip, you're creating more money with your signature. You're actually creating more credit, not really money, because there is no money. So if you understand the concepts of what they've trapped you into, and ask them questions, then if they don't answer the questions, then you can go back with another letter 30 days later, and you give them 30 days to respond. You go back and say, hey, you didn't answer my questions, so I'm going to answer them for you, and I'm going to answer them in my favor. And if you don't rebut them question for question, point for point, then I'm going to assume tacit assumption that you agree with them. And then you send that in. And they can't, if you know what questions they ask, there's about 6 or 8 of them. They can't answer them, or if they answer them, it would reveal the fraud, and they don't answer them. And then, you know, I know some people who have been successful that the credit card companies just realize when this person caught on to the fraud, they just stopped sending them statements and stopped trying to collect from them.
Well, in your particular case, you had a credit card debt that you eliminated for some $25,000. They responded back to you saying, we'll eliminate half of the debt, and you can still use the credit card.
Right.
Well,
they offered me, if you pay 35%, we'll let you use the credit card. And then I didn't respond to that. And then I sent them some more questions. They never responded to me. I never heard from them again.
Tom?
That was over a year ago.
Next Thursday, if you have any follow-up questions, call back in. Let me squeeze Andy and Gonzalez here. Andy, about 25 seconds.
Yeah, I got a question for your guest host. What came about with her son and the common transmission and getting put in jail? Is he okay? Is he out, or what's going on?
No, both of them. One will be out this afternoon that got swatted with Desi the other day. And her other son probably will be out in about a week.
Okay, well, good. Okay.
All right.
Well, we've been praying for him. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
That'll do it for us for this Thursday. Tune back in next Thursday, folks. We'll do it again. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you read this? Chicago just became the murder capital of America.
I don't understand. It's been a felony to have a gun since 95. I thought that was supposed to prevent murders, not increase them.
Criminals will always find a way to get guns, while the rest of us are just left defenseless.
Chicago authorities have seized over 75,000 firearms since 1995. And now, Chicago's murder rate is twice as high as New York City. Tonight, while you're asleep, criminals will be at work.
Not in Kennesaw, Georgia. In 1982, our city passed a law requiring every household to have a gun. It terrified the criminals, and our violent crime rate is now 75% below the national average. We sleep well here in Kennesaw.
Americans who own guns prevent over 1 million violent crimes every year and save lives. Get the facts. Visit armedandsecure.org. That's armedandsecure.org.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.